Welcome back to Office 365, Administering for Small Businesses Jumpstart Series. This is our Module 9, the last and final module of this series. So welcome back. I'm Chris Oakman, Stephen Hall. Welcome back. So let's jump right in. This is Module 9, Archiving, E-Discovery, and Compliance. This is, like I said, the last module of the day. And this is a give you a heads up. It's a fairly shorter. It's a shorter module, and we're gonna see what we can do to keep you here for. There's a lot of good information here, so we'll cover it as thoroughly
as we
can.
We'll do as many questions as we can.
As many questions as we can.
Pretty much anything. We'll try to keep it to this topic at first, and we'll try to get an extended Q&A for people that have other questions that have been asked.
So if you haven't had a question answered yet, feel free to ask it again at the end of this. All right. So we're going to start with an overview. Why archive email? Storage management. We want to balance mailbox size demands with available storage resources. Reduce the proliferation of PSD files stored outside of your IT control. In most small business organizations, users will have a PST archive on their local machine, which disappears when that machine crashes or something happens. So improve overall application network performance. Data retention, we want to meet industry and regulation email data retention requirements. Support ongoing compliance, litigation, or personal matters. Preserve valuable intellectual property and corporate assets. And then discovery. We want to be able to respond to strict timelines for legal discovery orders, reduce costs involved in searching for and retrieving data, and report on email communications as part of auditing procedures. Challenges to archiving email. Email has the potential to exist in so many places. With PST files, backups, your email server, SharePoint, webmail, third-party archives, will you be ready if you receive a e-discovery request?
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, so looking at the traditional archiving built into Outlook, that's the PST archiving. So the PST is typically saved locally. Well, it is saved locally to the machine. You could copy it as an administrator to a server share or to another, but computer could be lost, computer could be broken. You can lose that archive. I mean, it's a offline archive.
And as an administrator, you may not even know that your employees actually archive to a PST file. So that can be a problem as well.
And if they do carry the data, you save it on a server. Once again, if you need to produce that information, you have to pull that PST from somewhere. You have to upload it, import it to some mailbox, and then pull those messages out. It's just a really cumbersome task, and it's been there for forever. It's been the same. So, you know, some of the new features are pretty great.
Yep. And when that e-discovery request comes, you know, it's going to come. Somebody's going to do something that legal's going to get involved, and now you've got to supply, as an administrator, you need to supply all this this email to the e-discovery team. We want to make sure it's easy for you to do that and easy for you to grant permissions to other people to do that as well. So full-featured archiving, preserve, search. So under preserve, we have in-place archive, a secondary mailbox with a separate quota, a managed through Exchange Administration Center or PowerShell, available on-premise, online, or through Exchange Online Archiving. Governance, we want to automate and time-based criteria, set policies at item or folder level, expiration date shown in email message. When we want to hold those emails, capture deleted and edited email messages. We want to capture any email that comes in or out of an organization. Time-based in-place hold, granular query-based in-place hold, and optional notification. And then search, e-discovery. We want to be able to search easily, quickly for web-based e-discovery center and multi-mailbox search. Search primary in-place archive and recoverable items. Delegate through role-based admin. Deduplication after discovery, auditing to ensure that controls are met. Okay. Preserve, archive in the cloud. Fully hosted, primary and your archive are both in the cloud. Cross-premise, your primary and archive mailbox can be on-premise or in the cloud. And then archive in the cloud. So our primary mailbox is in Exchange on-premise. And this requires at least Exchange Server 2010 Service Pack 1. And then with the archive just in the cloud. So we have those capabilities to just add Office 365 for archiving features. Okay, the user experience. The end user experience is Personal Archive provides a PST-like experience. It's very similar within Outlook to what you would have had with a PST file archive.
It's another mail folder.
It's just another mail folder. The big difference is it's accessible on Outlook and OWA. Yep. So no matter where we are, we can search our archives.
Your archives travel with you.
Right. No Outlook restart. Auto discovers the archive folder. And mail automatically is moved to the archive through the administrator policies. So, you know, email is easily and quickly moved. The big thing with the availability, you can get to this from Outlook Web Access and search. When you message. Type in the search box in Outlook, the Outlook client or Outlook Web Access, it searches that archive folder as well by default. So when you're looking for an email, it can search very quickly and easily to find what you're looking for. The IT Pro experience, us, same mailbox management experience across the primary and the archive. The archive must have a primary mailbox somewhere. And similar management experience across on-premise and cloud. It's the same management. What does it look like? So this is Outlook and Outlook Web Access. As you can see, it is the same. So this is Sarah Davis at Contoso. We can see this is her Outlook. We can see her inbox, her drafts. Down here, archive. Here's our archive folder. And it retains folder hierarchy. So if she had in the inbox, up at the top, if she has a September, March for emails, she's going to have September, March down the inbox for in her archive folder. And in the Outlook web app, it's the exact same. It delivers the user the familiar experience by seamlessly surfacing both Outlook and the Outlook web app. They're the same. Same skills already used to interact with archive email. Okay. Search. In this case, this is the Outlook web app. So when I type project update in the search field up here at the top, it's going to search the entire mailbox, the mailbox and archive, or just the current folder you're looking in. You have those options. And then when do you want to search? All, today, last week. And it, the search will send back the exact everything that has project update listed in the mailbox. All right, transparent user experience. These are kind of small, so bear with me. It puts information workers in charge of their email by keeping them informed of when items are to be moved or archived. Okay, so we have a folder policy, and that can be applied to a folder. It can be applied to individual emails. It shows what our retention policy and expiration details are and who is assigned to. Assigned to individual items, folder, or all email. All right, archive client access through Outlook and or OWA. No additional client access configuration is required, and it always points clients to the primary mailbox location. Per user feature, so this is turned on and enabled per user. Primary and archive in the cloud, set up the tenant, provision archives, and then standalone archive, set up tenant, set up rich coexistence between on-prem and tenant. That means you got to have a hybrid configuration in order to do it, and then provision the archives. And we'll show you how to do that here in a minute. Rapid provisioning, quickly enable in-place archiving for users, either on-premise, in the cloud, or as a hybrid. So it's very, very simple. We click a user. This is Amy Alberts again. Mailbox features. Scroll down in mailbox features. Here's archiving enabled. View the details. And we can give, this is the name of the folder in the user's mailbox that contains the archive. We can leave that blank or we can modify that to something different. And it's that easy to set up. So it's just enabling that archive, enable, disable right here, and then you can view the details. Okay. Audit changes in mailboxes and configuration setting with built-in reports. So you can see, real quick, specify search or changes to, in this case, it's per mailbox litigation hold. So we can search our changes to that, who's been put on litigation, who's not been put on litigation. And litigation hold is only a feature of Enterprise E3 and above plans for to place a user on litigation. And what that means is maybe you have a legal reason, maybe you're getting ready to terminate a user. You want to make sure that they don't delete their mailbox. You want to make sure they don't delete any emails. You put them on litigation hold. When they delete an email, to them, it's seamless. It looks like they deleted it, but it's actually held so that you can track and search on all the email in that user's mailbox. This is useful for doing searches. If you've got an e-discovery request on a project or something like that, you need to put some users on litigation hold, okay? And we can track changes on all that. All right, retention and hold policies. Set policies allowing you to define, deploy, and automate the expiry and archiving of email. We have an archive policy, we have a retention policy, and combined policies.
What I was actually doing?
Mm-hmm.
I figured, you know, since we're going to talk about the, I was trying to catch you before you jumped into it, the archiving, and mm-hmm. you were showing it. I just figured I'd just create the archiving policies and show them.
Okay.
So all right, we can switch to my screen. So I am Karen Berg, once again, and this is Karen Berg's Outlook. You will notice the regular mail folder and the online archiving.
Yep.
I enabled the online archiving for Karen, and momentarily, moments later, disappeared. Now, there's nothing in here yet.
Right.
After you get the retention tags, we'll come back. This is the Outlook experience, and let's show the Outlook web app experience. Outlook web app, here's her inbox, and once again, her in-place archive appears right here.
Yep.
If I can change the name of this and make it look different. So after you tell us about retention policies, we'll actually apply a retention policy to her.
And watch email.
And watch email automatically begin to move to the archive.
Sounds great.
All right, so let's get back to retention policies.
Okay, retention policies. We have three basic policies: archiving, retention, and combined policies. So combined is automatically moves message to archive after X months, then delete from archive after Y months. So this is a combined policy that covers archiving and retention. More specific policies can override generic defaults. So we can create policies for pretty much what any requirements are. What's a retention tag? So this is the name, the action, the time period, admin mandated or user applied. So a user can apply their own retention tags that they've been given permissions to. Items and folders may have a 2-year archive policy. So if you're enabled for archiving, you can set that to clean out your mailbox after 2 years or as soon as 3 months.
Or two months. You know, we'll see that momentarily.
Yep. So. And then retention policies are how long to keep that email. Once it's been archived, how long do we keep it? Do we keep it for 30 days, 90 days, a year, 10 years? You know, whatever our internal policy depicts. If we have a written internal policy that says we delete all email after 7 years, then we may have that retention policy set up for our organization. Okay. Message retention, archive move policy, automatically moves mail to the archive. End user impact keeps the mailbox under quota. So if they're close to reaching their 25 gig quota, by automatically moving email, we can make sure that they remain underneath their quota. And like the Outlook auto archive, but without the PSTs. All right. Delete policy automatically deletes mail. So I want to tell you about a default delete policy that exists in Office 365. This is has caused some confusion for some of our clients because they were used to an example of a user that deleted items. Well, that's a good place to store my email. Well, yeah. By default, in Office 365, all mail is deleted from the deleted items folder every 30 days. So that's a big change if they're coming from, you know, Exchange 2003, where they could keep stuff in their deleted items folder forever. And some people did and used that as their storage. It's out of their inbox, but I need to go search for it. Next thing you know, it's gone. So just something to keep in mind. The default policy for that is 30 days. It can be changed. The default is 30 days. And it does exactly what it says. Automatically deletes email. Okay. Retention rules, use the defaults or create new for special projects, roles, example HR, they might need a special rule for retention. So this is done in the Exchange Administration Center under compliance, retention policies, and this is a select, these are retention tags that we can use. 1 week delete, 1 year delete, 3 year delete, 5 year delete, 5 month archive, or 3 month archive, 1 month archive. So these are delete policies, these are archive policies, and then IT provision policies. So we can provision more policies that fit our specific needs. And I wanted to show an example of how to assign an archive. So I use my mailbox and just happened to have an MVA Jumpstart email in my mailbox. So I thought this was a good demo here. And the difference here, this is Outlook client, and this is a Office 365 OWA client. So from the same place, policies can be applied directly within the email. So if I click on the options, go down, assign a policy, I can change a six-month archive. If I had other policies applied here, I could change. I would see those if I had created some custom IT policies.
I'm in the process of doing that right now. So.
Steven's setting that up for us for a demo here in a few minutes. And then in the Outlook client, we have assigned policies button to press right within the email. Okay, so from within an email, we can set this email. I've read it. I looked at it. I want it gone in 3 months, but I might want to be able to search on it for up to 3 months, you know? So we might want to manually set a policy on this to automatically delete in 3 months.
So move it to the archive or just manually delete?
Yeah, either one. So you could do either one with this.
Or both. You could say move to the archive, and then after a certain period of time.
Then manually, yep. So message retention versus managed folders. Compliance management is a spectrum. Full IT admin control to no IT control end user tool. In Exchange 2007 addresses only one end of the spectrum, very little end user flexibility. Message retention in 2010-2013 addresses both ends on the spectrum. Framework for IT admins to associate policies with mailboxes and system folders, and framework for end users to optionally associate policies with their folders and mail items. Retention policies managed separately for on-premise and cloud, except when only archiving in the cloud. We're going to jump into e-discovery. Legal hold overview captures edit deletes on a mailbox, user admin access. User workflow is unchanged, items captured in hidden folders in Dumpster 2.0. Users can receive notification if they are can receive the notification they are on hold, so it eliminates a manual process. So we can let a user know that, hey, we've put you on legal hold, or we can not let them know. We can just do it. Multi-mailbox search retrieves items indexed in the dumpster, and no end user impact. This preserves items for recovery and discovery for finite or indefinite period of time without impacting end user experience. Okay. So we can say how long we want to put them on legal hold. If we know this litigation project is only going to last 6 months, we can specifically say this person's going to be on legal hold for 6 months. Once they come off legal hold, any email that they've deleted or their archiving policies will take effect and take care of all that email that has been on legal hold. Okay. Legal hold configuration. We'll show this a little bit more in depth. So again, I'm in the Exchange Admin Center. I'm in Recipients. I've clicked on Amy Alberts. I'm in her mailbox features. And you can enable or disable litigation hold just by clicking a button. All right, there's no real configuration to it. You can go in and further configure it. Let's click here. All right, so here is the next screen. I can go in and I can further configure this. I can give a note as to why they're on legal hold and a URL if I wanted to tell them to come, you know, why maybe information about the case as to why that they were put on legal hold. So if we wanted to tell them all that, we can. And then in the account information, this is in Office, Outlook 2013. I've gone into info in my account, and it says that this mailbox is on hold for the Contoso versus Fabricam case. All email is being automatically captured. Do not delete any pertinent documents stored elsewhere. If you want more information, click this link right here. So this is a way of putting a user on legal hold that that notifies the user. Okay. So new, in-place e-discovery and hold. All right, so I've showed you the method of doing litigation legal hold, or legal hold and e-discovery. Now here's a new in-place e-discovery. So using this new model, in-place hold allows you to create granular hold policies to preserve mailbox items in the following scenarios. Indefinite hold. All right, the indefinite hold scenario is similar to litigation hold in Exchange 2010. It's intended to preserve mailbox items so you can meet e-discovery requirements. During the period of litigation, items are never deleted. There's a query-based hold, so I can now only put a user on litigation hold for certain emails that contain certain information. So you can do keywords, start and end date, sender and recipient addresses. So I may want to legal hold all email sent out of our company to a specific address. So any email that's sent out will automatically be placed in a legal hold and automatically captured to that company, and vice versa, email coming in as well. So we have some new, very, very useful tools to comply with e-discovery and legal hold. All right, and we can also do time-based hold. Allows you to specify a duration of time, and you can use in-place hold to place a user on multiple holds. Okay, so a user, maybe that user is works with different clients, and all those clients are under investigation or whatever the scenario may be. So that user can be on different in-place holds in order to capture all the information that we need. In-place hold is a premium feature that requires Exchange Online Plan 2 or Exchange Online Archiving License to enable it for each mailbox. So just a little note for you there. So placing a mailbox in in-place hold, authorized users that have been added to the discovery management role-based access control. So somebody asked a question earlier today, what permissions do they have to be a full global admin in order to do legal hold and place a mailbox on hold? No, they need to be given the discovery management role-based access control role and assigned the legal hold and mailbox search management roles. Can place mailbox users on in-place hold. So in-place hold is, again, in the Exchange Admin Center, compliance management, in-place discovery and hold. And so here we can create a query for exactly what we're looking for. And as you go through the wizard, it will generate that legal hold. All right, so placing a mailbox, how to place a mailbox on hold. Here's another way, PowerShell, new mailbox search, hold, and a case ID, source mailboxes, and in-place hold enabled is true. And here's a link to how to do in-place holds. Okay. Single item recovery and fixed retention. Fixed retention, the ability to preserve user data for a rolling window of time that overrides user actions. Can be achieved using single item recovery. Single item recovery captures all edits and stores them for the specified time period. And again, we do this through PowerShell, set mailbox identity to single item recovery enabled true. And this is on-premise. This is off by default. So if you have Exchange on-premise, this is off by default. Exchange on by default in the cloud. So default period of 14 days, extend beyond 14 days via service request, and not recommended beyond a one-year retention. Okay. Journaling. So questions were asked if they could still use third-party archiving tools. Journaling is still there, still available. We can do transport journaling and journal report deduplication. Ability to journal journal individual mailboxes or SMT mailboxes addresses to the hosted archive. Customers apparently report up to 40% duplication of journal reports, and the Exchange server creates one report per message, can dramatically reduce hosted archive storage costs. Okay, so what that's saying is if somebody on the outside is sending an email to 10, 15 users, all with an attachment, Excel attachment, so we can deduplicate that and only store that one email in the offsite archive. Multi-mailbox search performs distributed search across end-user mailboxes located on multiple servers. Search is throttled and parallelized. Results are copied to discovery mailbox after search. Admins by default do not have access to search all mailboxes. Specific role-based access control discovery rule is required. Single discovery experience across premise and cloud. Identify and hold for each case. Allow items to be placed on time-based in-place hold to help meet compliance. So this is where we would do it if we wanted to search for all these mailboxes. We want to search these for, and as you can see, we have Exchange and SharePoint. So this can go cross-platform here. HR execs is the group, and then we want to search every mailbox for this filter trad and with a dollar sign, a start date and end date, and then the author sender, and then we apply the filter and save the results. In-place hold or do not hold, maybe we're just doing a search, or we're putting these people on in-place hold. So deep analytics and statistics, retrieve content in Exchange, SharePoint, Link, and file shares in place. Laser-focused, refined query capabilities can get the exact content you are looking for. All right, and again, this is only available in Exchange Plan 3, Office 365 Enterprise 3 and above plans in order to get the SharePoint and the Link searching. So this is an enterprise plan. Okay. And that's the extent of the slide deck. We're going to do a few demos that we've got set up, and I left some links here at the end for you guys, some resources.
So first and foremost, the Exchange Online, or Exchange Plan 2 is E3 and up.
E3 and up.
So I made that mistake in the last. Yep. So I'm going to actually show you guys what the creating a retention tag looks like. We saw the slides. We can jump right into the actual Exchange Admin Center. Under Compliance Management, there is a default policy which is applied to everybody. This is what we when you enable the actual archiving.
Right.
This is the policy that we were talking about. And when we go to deleted items, where is it? Delete. Deleted items. Here it is right here.
30 days.
If it's in your deleted items folder, it's gone in 30 days. You can change this policy. You can remove that. You can add a new tag, but just know that once you apply this, that is the default policy that will be applied.
Right.
Everything in deleted items, if it's a migration and things are just put in deleted items temporarily, if they're there for more than 30 days, they're gone. Now, creating a retention tag, you would come to the retention tag. If I want to create, I just created a two-month archive because I was trying to archive Karen Berg's email. I simply would go in and create a default or a personal tag that a user could use. In this case, I'm going to create a default tag. I'm going to call this 30-day archive. I don't want users to have messages in their mail more than 30 days. So after 30 days, move it to archive when it reaches 30 days. And I could put a comment in here. Test for jumpstart. So this tag is now created. Well, now it's created. Of course, we now need to go to a policy. I have a test archive policy, and I'm going to remove these tags, and I'm going to add that tag that I just created. Where is the 30-day archive? So now I've created a policy, or edited a policy called test archive policy, which only has one tag in it, 30-day archive. So let's go over to our users now, our recipients. Let's find Karen Berg. Edit Karen Berg. Let's go to mailbox features. And right here, even though it's grayed out, it won't be grayed out for long, there is the sharing policy, the role assignment, and the retention policy. So we have to apply the retention policy that we would like her to use.
Right.
In this case, I've already applied the test archive. I was doing that while Chris was showing you guys the
right. And one of the things that you see on this screen is you don't see the litigation hold and enable archive. You need to scroll down for that.
Funny you
so
said
that. If you've been looking for it.
I just happened to enable.
Yep.
I just happened to enable her litigation hold. Now, it says enabled here, but actually it says I got a message saying it will take up to an hour to take
right.
place. So it actually is, well, hopefully it'll be.
It's quicker than that, yeah.
And you can see the archiving. Well, it was just at 1 kilobyte, so something's in the archive now.
Yeah, already there.
So now we can go back to her Outlook and see what's going on. First of all, I don't see the legal hold. I put a notification to show that. We just have something on the deleted items. That's it right now.
Okay.
But messages will start moving down here. And the good thing is this archive can be treated like a regular archive. I can simply, I want to move this message down to my archive. I put it on the root.
Yeah.
And I just drag that message down, and it's right here. Yep. So I can use it like an online or offline archive, but it is always there.
Right. So somebody asked, is there a way that I can import one of my users' PST files directly into their in-place archive?
Certainly.
So the way you would do that is obviously an archive policy. Yep. Assuming that this PST has files older than whatever your policy says, 30 days, 6 months, when you import that PST file into Outlook, it's automatically going to follow those policy rules and go straight to the in-place archive.
And if you want to do it the manual way, mm-hmm. you could simply mount it.
Mount it,
add
and
it
drag
here,
and drop.
Drag and drop right into this online archive folder right here. Yeah. Or you know, it's another Outlook folder. So if you can manage an Outlook folder, you can manage online archives. Same thing. Let's look at the online folder.
Somebody asked, when a policy archives an email, does it retain the same folder that it was in? Yes, it does. So if you have, for instance, I have a travel folder in my inbox. Anything in that travel folder, I've got archived. I keep my plane, my trip schedules and that kind of stuff in there. And everything in there archives fairly quickly. So that I have a travel folder in my archive as well.
So Chris showed us something. I can actually select it, but then my Outlook, still being Karen, if I wanted to just, I have a folder called my inbox or an active projects folder. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to apply a particular tag, I simply expand the ribbon and I go to assign a policy. And these are the policies that are available to me right now. I can create my own policies, possibly, if I have that ability. Mm-hmm. She does. Or I can view items that are going to be expiring soon. But here's where I can set a policy on that particular folder or on a particular item itself. I can assign a policy onto an item. So users can do that if you allow users to do that, or you can just apply them globally to a particular user or group of users. So it's a really powerful way to control email and prevent your mailboxes from growing to be too large. Really good with mailbox management. And if you take advantage of the online archiving and you are an E3 or higher user or a mail Exchange Plan 2 user or higher, you really have unlimited mailbox sizes, 25 gigabytes in the primary mail and unlimited archiving.
Yep. Somebody asked, will Outlook 2010 standard clients be able to access their archive mailbox? Yes.
Yes.
Outlook 2010 Service
fully
Pack
supported.
1
Service Pack 1 is fully supported.
Is fully supported, so you'll be able to see your archive mailboxes.
Okay. I was hoping you guys would have seen the legal hold because I actually put a note. Let me go back to.
Did you put a note in there?
I put a note in there.
Okay.
So in the where is that legal hold? In our hold, I actually put a hold on her. Where's Karen? Karen. Under Karen, I went down to mailbox features, and I actually put a hold on hers. It will tell you you're on legal hold, and I put a note about why, and I was hoping that we would have seen that, but it's still taking a little longer to propagate than we have time.
To propagate that.
But you can still see what.
If you go into the Outlook, you may see it.
Here's the message. You're on litigation hold. We need to know everything that you're showing to the Jumpstart attendees.
Right.
And I thought it would have been pretty cool for you guys to have seen that. And it says right here, Outlook 2010 or later.
Right. So, and you should be able to go into your Outlook client as logged in as her, right?
But it said it may take up to an hour.
Right. So hit file.
Yep.
And it's right there.
Oh,
you're on
it is
litigation
already there.
Hold.
I checked it earlier and it hadn't applied yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it says it right there. So you can see what the experience would look like for an end user and how to set it up as an administrator.
Yeah.
So I guess we can check questions.
Yeah. So So that was it for that series of slides. Please ask any questions that we have not answered. We'll be here. We've got another 15 minutes or so of this session, so we can answer questions online live for as long as we can, as long as you guys keep asking.
Quick question that we can answer. What is the usage quota or size for archive messages per user? So Exchange Plan 1, E1, midsize, and small business. No.
Is 100?
No, small business, right?
Yep. It's 100 gig.
It's unlimited for the E3.
It is unlimited.
No, it's 25 gig for the others. Or is it 100?
100. Okay. 100 gigabytes for the others. That was in the first module. Yep. So if you please feel free to go back to that first module once those slides are available. That was in the first module. 100 gigabyte archive for E1 and mid-sized business, and unlimited for E3 and above.
If we had the E2 plan, there is no E2 plan. There's an enterprise plan. There's the enterprise plan 2 is gone.
Yeah.
There's the E1 plan, the E3 plan, and the E4 plan with the enterprises.
Right.
But there, I assume you mean the Exchange plan 2. So if we get the Exchange plan 2, but only enable archiving for power users, would that save a monthly cost? Now that comes included for all users.
It comes included for all users. So there's no cost savings there. It's just who you want to enable it for.
If we wanted to keep everything for e-discovery purposes for a long period, would we be able to use retention policies to save every mail object, even deleted items?
Sure, you put everybody on the litigation hold if you want. but you can set the policy for as long as you need it to be. Ooh, somebody hit enter four times. Is there an easy way to enable archive for all users? You can do that through PowerShell.
So you can PowerShell it.
PowerShell that script. Yep.
The slides will be available with, they said within a week or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
They'll be available soon.
Yep.
We'll stick around to answer questions. But that really gives you a few minutes back of your
afternoon, evening, wherever you may be.
And make sure you answer the poll questions.
And somebody asked, I've already taken 74-324. Should I take the new exam?
I would suggest you should if you want to manage the new environment.
Yeah, it's just like an upgrade from, let's say, server 2008 to 2012. You know, as an IT professional, you should definitely take the new server exam. So this is very similar.
And the environment you'll manage will look like this, like the environments that you took the 70-324 prepared you for.
Right.
Granted, it was similar content. It's just the newer version of the content to match what you'll actually be managing right now. So we suggest you do take it. Do you have to? No, but...
Yep. Somebody had troubleshooting online archive, had issues with access to email with Outlook 2010, installed Outlook 2013, problem solved. Yes, you probably could have solved the problem as well with Service Pack 1 for Outlook. I'm not sure what your environment was, but that is a requirement.
All right, so we'll actually put the email out for how to set the global exchange signatures. Sorry about that. We didn't do that, so I'll definitely put that in the Q&A.
Yep.
And I guess we'll give you guys a few minutes back. Thank you for attending, but make sure to answer the poll question.
Yep.
And definitely join the use your voucher for the to get your points for the for the actual jumpstart.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
So thank you very much. We've enjoyed this day and a half, and been a very good time. So you all have a great day, and thank you very much.